Today on Older and Wiser.
Do you sleep on your stomach, your back, or your side? We'll tell you what your sleep position says about you.
Also, a new survey reveals the number one priority of people over 50, plus some of the weird things people do with their pets.
Also, America answers the question, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
You're listening to Older and Wiser.
I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora in the San Francisco suburbs. And as always, we're exploring recent public opinion surveys. And today we're tackling a really tough question. What is your favorite Halloween candy? I have my favorite here. I'm going to give you a clue. It's I'm opening it. See if you can tell anything from the paper.
It sounds cellophane-y.
Okay, but, here's a secondary clue. This will give it away for sure.
Okay.
Once you open the outer package of the candy, there's another piece of sort of paper.
Reese's peanut butter cup. I love those.
I know. It's my favorite. It's my favorite candy.
I think they are my favorite too. Snickers is a close second though. But I can't even call it Halloween candy because I buy it all year long.
It's so good.
You're eating it. I can hear you eating it.
Here's the problem, though. The paper will sometimes get stuck to the top of the Reese's peanut butter cup, and then when you pull the paper off, it pulls a little of the chocolate off the top. Do you ever have that happen?
Well, I have a little tip for you and anybody listening who adores this particular kind of candy. Nothing against Reese's. They're fabulous, and they are the Cadillac of it all. But if you go to Trader Joe's, you can get a...
it's got dark chocolate, right?
It's dark chocolate, and it's peanut butter, and there's no little paper around it.
Yeah, those are good. Those are really good. Yeah, so according to a survey from candystore.com, they checked out the top-selling candies across America. And what's surprising to me is that every state has a different set of favorite Halloween candies. Isn't that strange? Wouldn't you think it would be kind of a national average when you talked about?
Yeah, I would have thought that nationally. Of course, you and I would have thought everybody loves Reese's peanut butter cups. What's the matter?
It's my
with
favorite.
The rest of the
what else could you like besides Reese's peanut butter cups? It's the candy of candies. It's the ultimate.
I was looking at some states that I was interested in, and my native state. I'm in California now, and the favorite is M&M's there, which I do love M&M's. I have to say,
me too.
But then I was looking at New Jersey, where I originally am from, and they like Skittles,
which I think are too gummy or something.
I don't like them. You know what? There's not enough rich kind of. I'm cheating on my diet, and I don't give a flying.
The chocolatey ones.
Yes,
it does seem like
we're gonna have candy. Let's have real candy.
Yeah, across the board, the five most popular seem to be Snickers.
Yes, I like
Skittles,
those.
Which I'm not a fan of, but everybody likes Skittles. M&M's.
Yeah, I like M&M's.
Candy corn.
Yes and no. I'm a little hot and cold on candy corn.
That's a real old school. That's an old school candy.
Nostalgically, it's fun.
Yeah. And Reese's.
Pretty sugary. Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, Alabama likes candy corn, but Arizona likes Jolly Ranchers. Connecticut likes Almond Joy.
Almond Joy is good.
Georgia likes Swedish Fish.
What is that?
Well, I think it's like a little gummy bear kind of a thing. I'm not sure. My kids used to like it.
Stuff, no, I hate going to the dentist too much that I don't want to stupidly pull something out.
Where I grew up in Indiana, people seem to like hot tamales.
Are they red and probably hot?
I think like they're cinnamon. Red. They're I think they come in a little box.
Probably very full of cinnamon, I bet.
You know, I do like candies where you feel like you're getting more for your money. Like M&M's makes you feel like you've got a little meal, right? You open
Milky
the bag.
Way.
You can eat it slowly one at a time. Well, Milky Way. Yeah, Milky Way's
Milky
good.
Milky Way. But it's, you know, I like the other with the nougat and the caramel and the chocolate, you know.
Now, how much responsibility do you feel for trick-or-treaters to give them something really good? Or
I always put something decent because and it had to be something I liked because in case they didn't show up.
You'd have to eat it up.
Got it. That's lunch tomorrow.
Do you feel comfortable leaving a big bowl of candy at the front door and letting the kids help themselves?
A big bowl with not too many in there when it's late and I don't want to answer the door anymore. So if it's 8:45 and I'm done, I'll leave the porch light on And I'll say, you know, I used to have this. I have, in fact, I'm looking at her right now. I have a witch puppet. You may have met her. Mm-hmm. And her name is Salmonella.
Yeah.
And I used to have her answer the door and give the candy out. I had it all figured out.
Well, speaking of witches, the according to the survey, if you dress up, your most popular costume is a witch. And for pet owners, their most popular costume is to dress your dog as a pumpkin.
I don't know. I don't get the cats involved in Halloween. And do you dress up? I was asking though.
I we used to dress up every year. I would do it reluctantly, but I was sort of forced into it. And eventually I no longer had to do that. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. People love it though. People love to dress up for Halloween.
Yeah, people who do, you know.
All right, let's move on to our next survey. Here's the headline, What Your Sleeping Position Says About You and the Surprising Way to Lie Down That Will Ensure That You Wake Up Feeling Refreshed. I feel like we've talked about this before, the way we sleep.
I don't know. I guess maybe we have.
According to this survey, those who have a university degree are more likely to sleep on their side. What? What would be the reason for that?
I don't get the connection at all.
Makes no sense.
And then the right side each night are more likely to be smokers and coffee drinkers. Now, smokers and coffee drinkers doesn't even go hand in hand anymore.
No.
There was a time that it did. You'd have a cup of coffee and a cigarette, and that's long gone. So I drink coffee every morning. I haven't even looked at a cigarette in decades.
It's according to the survey, people who are heavy drinkers tend to sleep on their stomachs. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
I don't know if this is accurate. Okay, so here's what they say is the best position to wake up refreshed. It's called the starfish position.
That's like a yoga position, isn't it? Starfish, yeah.
A starfish. I guess it's like you're spread out on your back, arms and legs, akimbo. Is that a word, akimbo?
No, akimbo would be, I think, on your hip, wouldn't it? Your hand is on your hip. I mean, it's like your arms are out in either direction,
way up.
It's like, 45 degree angle from your body, and your legs are the same way, I guess.
According to the dictionary, akimbo means with hands on the hips and elbows turned outward. You're right. So you're right.
Okay.
So
hands on the hips, right.
And then other limbs are flung out wildly or haphazardly.
What about if you sleep on your back?
Well, here's the problem with sleeping on your back. I don't know about you, but I have bad dreams on my back.
Really?
Yes, I always have. And I think it's because the brain, of course, is floating in liquid, right? In your skull. And it floats to the back of your head and puts pressure on some part of your brain that makes bad dreams. That's my theory. I'm sticking with it. I don't know if it's true or not.
Is that based in anything?
No, it's not. I'm just saying, I think that's my theory. But I cannot sleep on my back because I really will have bad dreams. Always been.
All right. They have left something very pertinent out in this particular survey.
Yeah.
And a lot of women know it. And some men probably know it too at this point. Certainly if you're older and wiser, if you sleep on your back, supposedly you make less wrinkles.
Well, you certainly look better because your face is like hanging back and your skin is more tight. But you're right. If you're laying on your face, you're going to put some pillow creases in your face. So that's not good.
That's right. Even if you sleep on your side, you can put crease. I noticed when I was sleeping on one side for a while, I woke up and I thought, I have more of a crow's feet on my right than my left. And I was sleeping on my right. I thought, that's probably because I'm creasing that part of my body while I'm sleeping on my side
at
night.
Very good. See, so you gotta switch it up.
Back to my back. Mm-mm.
According to this, the fetal position promotes a clear, unobstructed airway, and so that helps the body sort of get into your deep REM sleep.
And also, you tend to bend your knees,
which is good for your back.
That's right. But you can do that either with something under your knees if you want, if you're sleeping on your back, or you can actually relax your back by sleeping on your mattress, bending your knees and leaning them against each other, much like it's a yoga kind of restorative.
They do say that if you have a bad back, you really shouldn't try to sleep ever on your stomach because it bends the spine sort of the wrong direction.
Well, I don't want to be sleeping on my stomach where everything falls to the front, and then maybe there's the same kind of reaction as with the wrinkle. And
you're really worried about that.
I'm obsessed with your face wrinkles. I'm willing to compromise on the position I sleep in.
According to this, snoring and sleep apnea are more frequent when a person's sleeping on their back. Heard of that. I've heard of that. I do snore on my back. Do you snore?
I think I do. My husband told me I snored. And I said, I do not. And he said, you should hear yourself.
The starfish position is great and all that for waking refreshed, but it's not good unless you're sleeping in the bed alone. Because if you're putting your arms out to the right and your legs all crazy, you're going to kick somebody if there's somebody else in your bed.
Well, if you sleep alone, you can do starfish.
All right, moving on to our next topic. Here's the question. Are we getting too friendly with our pets?
No, there's no such thing.
I don't know. Here's the thing. A new survey reveals that a third of pet owners let their animals into the bathroom with them. So. But why would you not? How do you keep your pet out of the bathroom? That's a silly thing.
I have no idea.
We don't think that's weird. But here's some other things that maybe are a little weirder. Mm-hmm. Apparently, a fifth of all cat owners get up to serve breakfast at 4 a.m.
My husband used to do that. And I broke this new cat in and I said, we wait till 6 o'clock. Or I leave a little bit of his crunchies out through the night. So if he wants a little snack and needs one, he can get that. And then by the time he's really hungry, then I'm up.
Now, this poll was taken of 2,000 dog and cat owners. So it's kind of a pretty good-sized poll. Mm-hmm. According to this, 9 in 10 owners say they really don't care what people think of their relationships with their animals. I get that. Yeah, I don't think.
I'm there.
Around a fifth of the people surveyed said that they kiss their animals on the lips. On the lips. On the little cat lip or the little dog lip.
First of all, it's hard to find cat lips.
they're very small and they're not wet. It's not like you get wetness.
But I do kiss my kitty cat.
Where?
On his head, sometimes on his little cheeks. Mm-hmm.
But not on the lip.
Well,
and no tongue.
No. But he can give me a kitty kiss.
Listen,
if a cat licks you, and not all cats will, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't love you or anything, but they say I read somewhere that's the highest compliment you can get from a cat, because the first time it experienced that was when its mother licked it as a kitten.
So that's a compliment. My cat licks me. Yeah.
Well, you call that a kitty kiss. I've had cats where I'd say, give mommy a kitty kiss, and they knew what I was talking about, and I'd put my hand out and they'd give me a little lick.
34% of those surveyed referred to themselves as their pet's mommy or daddy.
Yes. When did you get this person to spy on me, whoever wrote this?
10 of 3 in 10, a full third of these people, sign their animal's name in birthday cards.
To certain people, I've done that. Now that you bring this up, I've never thought about it, but I'm thinking maybe a lot of my friends think, what is wrong?
They might think you're a little kooky. 6 in 10 admit they're closer to their pet than they are to some of their family members.
Hate to say it, that's true. And I'm really copping to that one way too fast.
Listen, pets are much more forgiving of your shortcomings.
Absolutely.
I get it. I see why people are closer to their pets. When you come home, they're going to like you, even if you're a foul person.
And my cat agrees with my politics.
Whatever you are, you could be a Democrat, a Republican, a socialist, a communist. They don't care.
Because after all, you're the one that puts their food out.
And they don't speak your language is probably part of it. Maybe that's the key to real friendship, is not speaking the language of your friend.
That could be.
Just communing on purely animalistic, brain waves.
Did you ever think about why it is that pets can't form letters and talk instead of meow or bark?
Yeah, that's kind of a good question. Why not? Because they
I don't know.
They're capable of noise making.
So I just wonder why they can't form. I mean, they have little throats and stuff. Maybe there's throats. I don't know.
They don't have lips, really. And you know, a lot of the words that we make are formed by our lips, and their lips are sort of set in place.
Yeah, but I think if you didn't have lips, I mean, if you hold your lips in over your teeth, I'm holding my lips in,
and
I'm still talking. You know, they have teeth, although my cat doesn't. My cat is toothless.
Yeah, you need the teeth. You need the lips. I think you need some lips. Yeah. You need a good
mumble.
Tongue. You need to be able to touch the top of your mouth with your tongue and make the little T sounds.
Most animals have good tongues. Cats have to clean themselves with their tongues. So, you know.
I think if cats could live longer, they'd have more time to learn the language. I think it just takes them a while. Like, if they could live for 30 years, maybe by the time they got to be in their 20s, they could start talking. All right. Well, we're getting near the end of this mess we've created today. So let's go on to our next and final survey. This one from the folks at International Council on Active Aging. Mm-hmm. This survey reveals the number one priority of people over 50. According to this survey, 72% said that being able to stay independent was really a top motivator. You want to be able to continue to drive. You want to be able to continue to do your own stuff, live on your own, and you want that to last as long as possible. So,
yeah. Well, and also money. You know, if you can afford to be in your own place, whether it's an apartment or whether it's a senior living situation, it's not just a health issue sometimes, it's a financial issue.
According to this, the biggest fear that people over 50 have in the future is a health setback, some kind of an injury or a surgery or an illness that could come along. That's the biggest fear.
And I think if it's life-changing, where in other words, all of a sudden you can't walk or you can't see or even you can't hear.
Yeah.
Those things change what maybe you can do on a day-to-day basis, even if you are independent.
Changes your whole life, yes.
Yeah.
People want to stay independent and they don't want to get sick. Those are really kind of the two main things. 97% of the respondents to this survey believe that having a positive, can-do attitude can add years to your life. What do you think about that? Do you think does anything?
Yeah, I do. I do. That's something you can control. I'm not saying it's easy.
No, it's not easy.
But you control your attitude. Nobody
I don't
else
know.
Controls your attitude.
You know, I don't know if it actually extends life, but it certainly makes the time that you got more enjoyable. You may as well have a can-do attitude just for the time you're here because you're going to have more fun. You're going to have a better life.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, when asked what advice they would give to their younger selves, the folks in this survey said by 30%, prepare for retirement.
Good one.
And 27% said eat healthier.
You know,
advice would you give to your younger self?
Get rid of the junk.
Get rid of the junk?
I would pick things up and instead of going, oh, I want to keep this, it's so fabulous, I would pick things up and go, why the heck did I ever spend any money on this?
That's really very, very good advice. Don't drag too much stuff around with you in life.
Don't accumulate because at some point someone's going to have to get rid of it.
I guess if I had to give advice to my younger self, it might be don't care too much about what other people think about you.
I think that's true.
I think it's a pretty common thing people do, whether they'll admit it or not. So if I were to go back to my 20s, I would say, try not to worry about what people think.
Absolutely. And get rid of the clutter.
Get rid of the clutter. All right. Well, it's time to wrap this up once again. Thanks for listening, folks. But for the links to all the stories that we discussed today, you can visit our website and be sure to click on the Survey Says. You'll find it all there.
You'll find also a lot of interesting articles and our previous episodes at olderandwiser.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.